I'm ready for the word of God here tonight. Yes. Oh, man. You know, I know everyone's still greeting one another. You know, see, next time I'm going to have to say, you know, find a half of the people that you are, right? Glory to God. Well, it's good to see you. Are you ready for the word here tonight? Amen. How many of you got the text this afternoon? So you know what way we're going. Praise God. We're just excited for the word. Go with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. You already know the title of this message. And tonight I'm going to call this message Fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Fellowship with the Holy Ghost. You know, I appreciate, you know, how, you know, we started praising and worshiping and, you know, and at first, you know, and I understand, you know, people are busy and they have a lot of things going on in their life. And at first tonight we were a little quiet, but as we started praising and worshiping, you started to pick that up, you know, you started to lift your voices, you started to put a little bit more to it as we went on. And then of course, as we were praising just a moment ago, you know, you were given, you know, that effort. And that's a good thing. Folks, it's not because the devil's going to run from our volume. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that? But I'll tell you what, sometimes taking initiative, it does require some energy spent. You know, and I'll tell you what, God is not going to be the one who's going to put forth the initiative to make sure that the devil flees from you. That initiative is going to come from your faith. It is going to come from your voice. It is going to take your effort. Amen. And I'll tell you what, so many times, and this was nothing that I was planning on saying, but a lot of times believers forget that the job to resist is their job. You know, sometimes we just forget to resist the enemy. You know, you've got to resist. God is not going to do anything more than he's already done with the devil. You're going to have to resist thoughts. You're going to have to resist temptations. You're going to have to resist those trials that you're going through. You're going to have to stand up somewhere. Now, it doesn't have to be publicly, but you're going to have to say something. There's going to have to be a time when you stand up and say, Satan, get behind me. Satan, take your hands off my family or off my health or off my finances or whatever it is. You're going to have to, you know, do that. Amen. Because the job to resist him is our job. That authority has been given to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to John chapter 16. And tonight I'm going to be reading the first, about half of this chapter. We're going to start in John 16, 1. We're going to read, you know, down to about the 14th verse. And I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified Bible here tonight. And so up there in our audio video there, if you want to get ready with the Amplified, of course, I know we have the screen behind me. And of course, with my Amplified Bible, the words are very small on this page. And so, you know what's coming. Praise the Lord. Whew. Got the readers. And this senior moment brought to you by Spectrum Eye Care. Amen. And so, glory to God. You know, if you're over 40, you know what I'm talking about, right? All of a sudden, it's not that, you know, I actually went to Spectrum Eye Care. And you never knew that they sponsored our church like they do. No, they don't. They don't. But I went there and they told me, they said, well, Pastor Tim, you have 20/20 vision. I said, oh, really? That's really interesting. He said, but what is going on? He gave me some, you know, scientific, you know, reason why. But anything that's within like about a foot and a half of my eyeballs, yeah, praise the Lord. That's why we need these buggers right here. So let's go to John 16, and we're going to read down through the first 14 verses. Obviously, if you don't have an Amplified Bible here tonight, we will have it up here on the screen. And if you want to just keep up with me, I'm just going to read right through the passage. I'm not going to stop all that often, but we are going to go back once we have read it, and we're going to get what we need to get. All right, John 16 and verse 1. This entire passage is being spoken by Jesus himself. If you have your red letter edition Bible there, the words will be in red. That means Jesus is talking. He says this, I have told you all these things so that you should not be offended. How many of you know if the Lord, you know, makes sure to tell us that? He says, everything I'm speaking, I'm giving you eternal revelation for the purpose that you do not get offended. How important is it to heaven that we do not get offended? I mean, you cannot overemphasize. Isn't it funny? Like just about 30 seconds ago, I said I wasn't going to stop during the passage. But I didn't even get through the first verse. It's so funny with these glasses. When I put them on, you all disappear. I just see about 3 feet in front of me, and that's about it. He says, I've told you all these things so that you should not be offended, taken unawares, and falter, or to be caused to stumble and fall away. That's what offense does, folks. All those things he just said, that's what offense will do to you. That's why you don't want to be offended. He says, I told you to keep you from being scandalized and repelled. They will put you out of and expel you from the synagogues. But an hour is coming when whoever kills you will think and claim that he's offered service to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have told you these things now, so that when they occur, you will remember that I told you of them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, meaning he said he was going away, he says to his disciples, sorrow has filled your heart, taken complete possession of them. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, and the standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Who is he talking about? Who's the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the standby? The Holy Ghost. Now, just so we make this clear, the term Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are synonymous terms. You know, there's actually people out there that teach that the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are two different things. Eek. Mm-mm. That is not so, not at all. They're the same. The Holy Ghost is really just a term that comes from the old Elizabethan English. It's just the old way of saying Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. He says this in verse 8, and when he comes, meaning when the Holy Ghost arrives, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me, trust in and rely on and adhere to me. About righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler, evil genius, prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned, and sentence already is passed upon him. Aren't you glad to know that? Satan is destroyed, he's condemned, and sentence has already been passed upon him. Amen. In verse 12, he says, I have still many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or to take them upon you or to grasp them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole, full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father, he will give the message that has been given to him. And he will announce and declare to you the things that are come that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because he will take of and receive and draw upon what is mine and reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that it was more advantageous that he would go away so that the Holy Ghost could come to us. Now go back up there. Let's start in verse 7. I read that entire passage because I wanted to give you the full context of it. Let's talk about fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost. Folks, this is essential. Actually, it's not just essential. It's everything. It's everything what we're about to talk about here. In verse 7, notice what Jesus says. Again, I'm in the Amplified. He says, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable. Everyone say profitable. Profitable. He says, it's good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, and then all the descriptions of the Holy Ghost, he says, if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost will not be sent to you. Now, look at the rest of verse 7. He says, I will send him to you to what? To be in close fellowship with you. And I love how this verse is written in the Amplified, because I don't think it can be said any better than that. Amen. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to bring fellowship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Notice this. Jesus said, it is better to have the Holy Spirit inside of us than it was to have Jesus physically present speaking with them. Folks, we marvel at the thought of these men that got to serve with Jesus. They got to walk with him. They got to see him every single day. Then we marvel at, you know, some of these mighty people of God that have had visions of Jesus. And we marvel at what Jesus has said to them. And we think, wow, you know, that would be just so great if Jesus would appear and speak to us directly. Or, you know, if we lived back in those days to see Jesus, to hear his voice. But Jesus said it is better. It is more profitable and advantageous for us that he leaves so that the Holy Ghost can come and live on the inside of us. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Praise the Lord. It is better to have the Holy Ghost on the inside than to just have Jesus physically there talking to you from the outside. Yeah, amen. Well, one reason for that is that, you know, the Lord, you know, when he was here on this earth, he was constrained, you know, until after his resurrection, he was constrained by a human body and also human needs. How many of you know Jesus was not available 24/7? He had to sleep at times, right? His body needed to rest. He couldn't be with everybody. He couldn't talk to everybody at the same time. He could only be in one location at one time. He was not omnipresent. He was not fully omnipotent. You know, when he laid down his glory to come down to this earth, there was still, you know, things that would try to limit him. We know that, right? But how many of you know, since he went away, he sent the Holy Ghost, who can be everywhere. He can be in every single one of us. The Holy Spirit reproducing Jesus in each and every one of us. Amen. But why did Jesus say it was profitable or better? Literally, that word expedient, it means it's better to have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you than to have Jesus physically there. So, you know, Jesus no doubt was saying this because generations that would follow who would not see him physically, they would feel like they weren't as important. But Jesus made sure to teach it was better for him to leave so that he could send the Holy Ghost. Why was it better? Here's the reason why. Because when the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of us, as opposed to Jesus standing next to us, that is a deeper form of fellowship. It is a deeper form of fellowship to have the Holy Ghost living on the inside. Amen. God's greatest goal is to live on the inside of us. God's greatest desire is to live on the inside of us. You could say it this way, God's greatest need is to live on the inside of man. You got to remember, we are the only creation of God that was made after his likeness and in his image. God, when we were lost to sin, he did everything to get us back. You know, he wanted to not just walk with us like in the Garden of Eden. He wanted to live on the inside of us. And that's why it says on the day of Pentecost, it was like a sound of a mighty rushing wind. God was getting to live back inside humanity again. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Holy Ghost, now everybody listen to this. The Holy Ghost was not primarily sent to work a miracle. But obviously he does work miracles. But that was not his first duty. His first priority was not to lead us into more money. His first priority was not to lead us into more success. His first priority was not to see that we just had things that we want or we got our own preferences in our lives, right? He was sent to create fellowship between God the Father and mankind. Amen. The first and highest purpose and priority of the Holy Ghost is fellowship. fellowship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Everything the Holy Ghost does is from and for fellowship. Amen. His power, the power of the Spirit, miraculous working power, is all derived from fellowship. We cannot underestimate that. We cannot miss that truth. Amen. He is the most active. The Holy Ghost is the most active in personal fellowship between you and Him. He is the most active. All right? That literally, that's where His power is going to start. That's where the source of it is going to begin. Amen. Praise the Lord. You could say it this way. Miracles are really just the explosive result of fellowship. I'm going to say that again. Miracles are really just the explosive result of fellowship between God's Spirit and mankind. Amen. God wants to have explosive results. He wants to demonstrate Himself. He wants to manifest Himself, but He cannot if we circumvent the true priority of His purpose, and that's the fellowship with Him. Amen. And praise the Lord. Glory to God. Listen to this. The Holy Ghost will not proceed to further demonstrations and manifestations if there is no fellowship. He will not proceed to further demonstrations and manifestations if there is no fellowship. Amen. The body of Christ, if we're not careful, the body of Christ will try to circumvent His reason for giving us the Holy Ghost in the first place. All of a sudden, we will try to have miracles. We'll try to have signs and wonders by going around. We'll try to have all that without having fellowship. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. We are trying, if we're not careful. Listen, I'm not saying this for everybody or every church. Believe me, every church, including this one, especially this one, because I'm the pastor of this church, and I'm trying to, of course, keep the greatest priorities the greatest priority. You know, it's my job to ensure this, and so I'm speaking to the church. I have to make sure that this gets across. Praise the Lord. But the body of Christ is trying to circumvent fellowship and trying to draw manifestations out of a place of no fellowship. It is like trying to bring God's miraculous power out of a dry riverbed. You cannot. The Holy Ghost does not do anything without fellowship. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We cannot try to draw manifestations out of a place of zero fellowship. Yes. Yet God's people, if we're not careful, we proceed anyway. We don't have fellowship to draw on, and we proceed to try to put a demand on miraculous power, and then it doesn't happen, and then man starts to resolve themselves to performing in the flesh. This is the reason why we get false prophecies. This is why, do I dare say this? This is why the move of the Spirit has been defined very, very shallow these days. The move of the Spirit in the time that we're living is being more and more defined as just a move of, laughing or rolling on the floor and things like that. Folks, God is not against laughing. Praise God for joy, amen? But that is being advertised, or that idea is being promoted. This is the move of the Spirit. I'll tell you what, in the Bible, a move of the Spirit meant that souls got saved. It meant that bodies got healed, the dead got raised. There was true miracle working power, and man didn't have to make excuses for God. The reason why we have the definition of the move of the Spirit just being a bunch of, and every time I say this, I feel like people, always say something to me like, are you against laughing? Are you against having fun? No. Let's just all go ahead and laugh for a little while. Just to prove how much we love laughing and praise God. But when we think that that is the height of the move of the Spirit, that falls so far short to the point where the New Testament doesn't even describe it as that. Doesn't even describe it as that. All right. when we see, if we have whatever our definition is, listen, the reason why the modern church has had to lessen the definition of the miraculous move of the Spirit of God is because we've been trying to draw on no fellowship. Until he has fellowship. Why do we think the Holy Ghost is going to meet our greatest needs when we are not meeting his greatest needs? We don't think of God as having needs. We don't think of the Holy Ghost as having needs. He needs fellowship with you. The Lord is the head. We are the body. He needs his body. He needs us to know him. Right, Jesus up there, right around, verse 3, and he was talking why some people will kill Christians thinking they're doing a service to God. And Jesus said in verse 3, he said, they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. If we don't know him, we're going to do things that are uncharacteristic. Obviously, that's an extreme example. But a lot of Christian groups, a lot of churches and things are moving out and doing things that are completely the opposite of the Bible because they don't know him, right? Folks, if we're doing something completely as a church or as individuals, if we're doing things that is against this, we didn't know him. We don't know him. Are you here tonight? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We cannot just proceed. The Holy Ghost is saying to us, don't try to go any further until you stop, get quiet, and get into fellowship with him. We are in fellowship with everything else in the world except the one thing that matters most. He is not going to demonstrate himself miraculously until his people start to fellowship with him. Oh, praise the Lord. I tell you what, we better get a hold of this. Glory to God. We cannot expect him to meet our greatest needs when we do not fulfill his greatest needs. We can't be in fellowship with everything else in the world and expect his power to flow. Listen to this now. The greatest demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost, the greatest. And this is just things that, as I meditate, all this sermon is, It's just a result of me meditating on this passage. Amen. Just feeding on the word, just fellowshipping with him. How many of you want to know what the greatest demonstrations of the Holy Ghost are? The greatest demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost are on the inside of man and not the outside. I'm saying the greatest manifestations. Let me explain that because I heard the Holy Ghost say that to me and I thought, oh my goodness, really? Everything we're chasing for the Holy Ghost to do and to demonstrate and to manifest is always outward. We want to see it out here. But this is what the Spirit of God said. He said the greatest, and of course it's backed up by the word, the greatest demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost are on the inside of man, not the outside. What happens on the outside of a believer is just a reflection of what is happening on the inside of a believer. Amen. And this is the illustration that he gave to me. When you stand and look into the mirror, all right, there's you standing there, and then your reflection is there in front of you. What is more important, the reflection of you or you yourself? You yourself. You are more important than your reflection. The fellowship we have with the Holy Ghost is more important than the explosive results that it produces. What God is wanting, the reason why miracles happen, he wants the world to see just how good fellowship with him is. Amen. He wants to show the world through us. Praise the Lord. The greatest demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost are on the inside. Sometimes we're waiting to see, all this stuff. Oh, God, we want to see great things happen on the outside. Are you having demonstrations on the inside first? Are you getting revelation with him? Are you spending time worshiping him? Are you taking alone time to pray and to seek him, you know, to feed on his word? You know, are we taking some time? Listen, you know, we understand, you know, we have natural lives. We know and understand it's okay to have entertainment at times and appropriate things and whatever. But folks, we better start to realize that we had better get alone, get fellowshipping with him, because everything in life that's going to come to you from God must be derived from fellowship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You and your relationship with the Holy Ghost is more valuable than just the reflection of his power from it, right? We have to know and understand that. But there is going to be no reflection of his power if there's not first fellowship. Amen. Go to verse 8. Look what Jesus says. He says, and when he, the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he will convict and convince. Everyone say convince. Convince. Oh boy, that was real convincing. Everyone say convince. Convince. He says he will convince the world and bring demonstration to it. All right, so he says that he's going to bring demonstration to it. And the first thing he says about sin. And there's three topics he says the Holy Ghost is going to convince the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Isn't that interesting? And so Jesus says when he shows up, these three purposes, these are going to be his mission. This is how the Holy Ghost works. This is what he's going to talk about. This is what he's going to do. All right? Amen. All right? Going to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But notice it says that he will convict and convince who? The world. He's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The world. Okay? Folks, here's the reason why I'm pointing that out. Who is he going to use to convince the world that they need Jesus to get free from sin, that they have right standing with God, and that Satan is judged and he's already lost? Who is the Holy Ghost going to use to convince the world of these things? He's going to use the church. The Holy Ghost was sent to the church for the message of convicting the world of sin, right? Of righteousness or right standing with God, and judgment, meaning Satan has been judged. Jesus later explains that. Think about this. We are the ones that have this mission through the Holy Ghost. Think about if that's his mission, if the Holy Ghost was sent to you so that the world would be convinced of their sin and their need for Jesus, if they would be convicted that they need right standing with God, and if they're ever going to know that Satan is already defeated, right? It's going to come through the Holy Ghost working in your life and my life. Amen. God is trying to convict the world through the people that will fellowship with him. There's nothing more convincing to someone who doesn't know Jesus than someone who knows him very closely. Somebody who is in close fellowship with Jesus will convince those that they need him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 9. And here we see, Jesus says, the Holy Ghost is going to convict about sin, because they, the world, do not believe in me, in Jesus. They do not trust, rely, and adhere to me. Folks, here is the greatest initial manifestation of the Holy Ghost inside the heart of a believer. Someone who's in fellowship with the Lord, someone who's in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, one of the most initial manifestations of the Spirit is a deep love and a concern for people who are not in fellowship with him. When the Spirit of God moves into your life, you know, when the Holy Ghost starts to move in your heart, he's going to give you a deep love and desire to win the lost. Folks, when I say this, I'm not trying to say that I've never missed it. I'm not trying to say this church is perfect. I'm not attacking any, you know, denomination or group. What I'm telling you, why do we have, I'm going to say something here, and I'm not attacking anybody. We have so many avenues of Christianity today. Lots of TV ministries, lots of traveling ministries, you know, even, you know, full gospel, you know, ministries and, you know, and crusades and all this stuff. But very little of it has anything to do with winning the lost. Why do we have that? You say, well, Pastor, don't say that. Oh, that hurts when you say that. It's true. Amen. It's true. How is it that the modern church in America does all this stuff? And believe me, this is not a blanket statement. I'm not trying to say this is every ministry. Thank God for the soul-winning, you know, organizations and the churches and things that are doing great things and preaching God's word. Believe me, don't take this too far. But why sometimes is there such a lack of soul winning? When the first thing, the mission and the purpose of the Holy Ghost, Jesus said the first thing he's going to do, he's going to come, he's going to dwell in your heart so that you'll convince the world of their need for Jesus, because that's the only way they're ever going to get free from their sins. Amen. You know, when we have a manifestation of the Holy Ghost in our hearts, when he moves in there, you know, when we're in fellowship with God, it hurts our hearts when we think of people who are not in fellowship with God. Do you know anybody in your life who's not in fellowship with God? Do you love those people that are not in fellowship with God? Yes. Does it hurt to think of somebody who's not in fellowship with Jesus? Yes, it should bother us to have souls around us. You know, family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, whoever, that don't know Jesus. And if we're casually living this life, I mean, if we're not spending time, you know, with the Lord and we don't have a desire to win the lost, I'm just going to say that there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. You know, can you bring up, I wasn't planning on going here. Can you bring up what Jesus said in Acts 1:8? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And then we'll go right back to chapter 16 in the book of John. Jesus said this, but you shall receive power. Everyone say power. Power. Boy, who wants power? All right. Boy, and when we start to hear that God's passing out power, a lot of people, a lot of us believers, what we start to do, we start to think with the desires of the flesh. How's this going to benefit me? What's this going to look in my money? What's this going to look in my business? What is it going to look in my job? And by the way, God wants to bless that area of your life, but it's got to be out of fellowship, not just out of selfishness. You shall receive ability, efficiency, and might. I like that. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says power and might come upon you. So what is that power of the Holy Spirit? What does it come upon us and within us for? It says, and you shall be my witnesses. The very first thing he said about a Spirit-filled life is that you are going to be a walking and talking demonstration of fellowship with God the Father. Amen. The filling of the Spirit is not so you can just hope for a miracle for yourself personally. The filling of the Spirit is not so you could hope for more money or, you know, get your preferences in this life. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, it is power to be what? Witnesses. Now, a witness isn't just somebody who invites somebody to church, though that might be included. You know, witnessing certainly, you know, starts with, you know, telling people about Jesus, leading them to the Lord. Amen. But a witness is not just those things. A witness is when God is actively visible upon your life. Fellowship shows up. Meaning when you are in fellowship with him, it's going to show up on your life. People are going to know it. They're going to see it on you, even if they can't explain it, even if they can't put it into words. Folks, I'm telling you, when this world needs an example the most, the church is being an example the least. And that's not an attack on us. But folks, I'll tell you what, the fields are white with harvest. I'm telling you, it is the time. It is a time to fall in love with soul winning. It is a time to, you know, put some things aside and just get into God's presence so his glow can get upon you. Hallelujah. So people can notice a difference about you. Not saying that they're not. Praise God. The greatest initial manifestation of the Holy Ghost in a believer is this, a deep heart concern for people who are not in fellowship with God. The Holy Ghost will initially place a deep desire in your heart for those who do not know Jesus Christ, the ones who are lost in their sins. This is the mission of the Holy Ghost in the life of a believer. He will manifest himself to this end and for this purpose. Oh, praise God. Go back over to John 16 now, where we were at verse 9. He wants to convince the world that they need Jesus through us. Whew, amen. Can you go back over there to John 16, 9? Praise the Lord. There it is. He says, I've come. The Holy Ghost has come to have fellowship with us because they, the world, they do not believe in Christ. They don't trust and rely on him. Wow. The Holy Ghost will put a deep desire to win the lost. And folks, if we don't have that deep desire, let's ask ourselves why. Why not? Because I'll tell you the reason why. Because if we get full of the world, we will not be hungry for the things of God. If we are not hungry for the things of God, we've gotten full somewhere else. There's a scripture in the book of Proverbs that says something like that. It says, you know, the full soul loathes a honeycomb. And a honeycomb is supposed to be good and sweet. He says that even a full person, someone who's full, they don't even want to eat something sweet. But to the hungry man, every bitter thing is sweet. When you're hungry for God, all right, it's because you're not full on something else. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. The reason why the modern day church doesn't see more of the miraculous is because they are trying to get the Holy Ghost to perform for their own selfish reasons. I'm going to say that again. The reason why the modern day church doesn't see more of the miraculous is because we try to get the Holy Ghost to perform for our own selfish reasons. We want it to be able to promote our ministries. You know, we want it to feel like, you know, we're doing something good for God. You know, we want the Holy Ghost to manifest himself so it delivers us from all of our troubles. Folks, let me say something here. We're supposed to convince the world, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? We're supposed to convince the world that they need Jesus, you know, to be saved from their sin. If we're the ones supposed to be convincing the world of this, that means and implies we're supposed to already be convinced. We're already supposed to be convinced. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will explain what I mean by that. Like I said, the reason why the modern day church doesn't see more of the miraculous is because we try to get the Holy Ghost to perform for our own selfish reasons. If we're not careful, we want to use the Holy Ghost to accomplish our causes. Get me out of my trial. Get me out of my problem. Bring me more money. Restore my business. Do this, Holy Ghost. Do this for me. Oh, boy. That's absolutely right. We want to use the Holy Ghost to accomplish our causes when we should be letting the Holy Ghost use us for his causes. When his causes are met, all of our needs are just met by the excess. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? We think the greatest need in this world is our own. Our greatest need in this world is not our own. If you are born again, if you are blood-bought, spirit-filled, you are heaven-bound, I'm telling you, you have something great and miraculous. And the person who does not know Jesus Christ, they have a need. They need convincing, and we're the ones that are supposed to be convinced. Amen. The church should already be convinced. What do I mean by that? We should already be convinced that all of our needs are met. We should already be convinced that we're healed. We should already be convinced that God is more than enough. We should already be convinced that we have right standing with God. We should already be convinced that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Are you getting a hold of this? We should already be fully convinced. We should be the ones you know, that are in fellowship with him. And through that fellowship, he will start to develop that deep desire to win the lost. And if we have needs, folks, I'm going to teach you in 60 seconds how to get every need met in your life. Are you ready? Every need you've ever had in your life. I don't care if it was right down to a stubbed toe, up to paying off a mortgage or, you know, an attack in your body. I don't care how big or small, any need you've ever had financially, materially, maritally, with your kids, you know, spiritually, physically, anything can be simply met this way for a believer who knows God. Father, you see this need. And Father, in Jesus' mighty name, by faith, I take all that I need. Father, I receive your promise. Your word says this. Your word says that. I receive it in Jesus' name. Therefore, I have it, and I thank you, Father, for it. End of story. Say, well, Pastor, but I prayed that way and nothing happened. Well, keep on using your faith. We are supposed to be convinced at the moment we pray, not standing around looking for why it hasn't show up. You know what's going to show up? You know when it's going to show up? When we get more desirous for fellowship with him than we do for the stuff that we need. When all of a sudden you say, Father, Lord, you meet that, you know, that need that I have. Lord, I trust you. It's going to be handled. It's taken care of by faith. But what I want, Father, more than by healing or more than, you know, my financial need, more than anything, Father, I want to know you. I want to know your ways. I want to know your word. I want to know what you do. I want to know your plan. Lord, I want you to show me the people in my life who I can win to the Lord. When you get, you know, going and busy on what God would have you to do, all your needs will be met. Remember when Jesus told the 70, he said, go on out. He said, take no money in a purse, you know, in a wallet. He said, go on out. He's like, don't even bring, you know, shoes, and you're not going to need this, you're not going to need that. He said, all your needs will be provided as you go. Everything you need will be provided as you go. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost isn't looking to put on a show for the church. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Ghost is not looking to put a show on for the church. We're already supposed to be convinced. I don't need the show. I'm going to say something really wild here. I don't need a miracle. Already got mine. I already got it. Miracles aren't for people who know. Miracles are for people who don't know. Miracles aren't for people who are already convinced. Miracles are for the world that need to be convinced. Jesus said over there in John chapter 4, he said, you'll never believe unless you see miracles. He said, you are not believers and you're never going to become one until you see the miraculous power of God. But what we're doing, if we're not careful as the church in America, we're just performing in the flesh the same old fake manifestations on the same old people that are supposed to already be convinced. You know, I'm laughing because I know how sometimes stuff like what I'm saying right now will be looked upon. I don't care because it's true. If, and thank God, I'm just so grateful for the men of God over me in my life. Praise the Lord. You know, Reverend Greer, he said something really interesting. It was really bold. I've never heard anyone say that in our circles before. He said, you know, so many churches are laying hands on people all the time, which praise God for the laying on of hands. I may lay hands on someone here tonight, all right? But I'm talking about an excessive, like all the time, like for every need that Christians have in the church, they come up, they get into a line, they have hands laid on them. He said, some of that is ruining churches, ruining believers, because we just think, well, I'll just go up and my needs will be met if the minister lays hands on me. Folks, the highest and best way is to get into the word, receive the promise of God right from his word. It does not take away the laying on of hands, but let's just say it. The laying on of hands was first and foremost towards unbelievers. watching the sick recover, amen, through the miraculous power of God so that they would be convinced of God's goodness. Amen. The laying on of hands is wonderful. Folks, I believe in it. You know that around here, all right? And I don't believe that we overuse it or abuse it in this church at all. If the Holy Ghost prompts me to do that, we will do it. But I'm talking about if we just are always waiting for the minister's faith to get us through, we can't live that way. Amen. The Holy Ghost isn't looking to put a show on for the church. He's looking to show himself to the world. He's trying to convince the world. We're supposed to already be convinced. You know where you get even more and more convinced? In fellowship. Fellowship. As you fellowship with him, I know he's the Savior. As you fellowship with him, I know he's the healer. You know, I know that he's the miracle worker. I know that he's the provider. See, more fellowship equals less fear. More fellowship equals less fear. Amen. Glory to God. Now in verse 10, he says, I've also sent the Holy Ghost to convict the world about righteousness, uprightness of heart, and right standing with God, because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. Someone who is in fellowship with the Holy Ghost always knows right where they stand with God. Folks, if you fellowship with him, you'll know if you're in the right place in life. There's no greater joy than knowing that you're right in the middle of God's plan for your life. Amen. And when you're in fellowship with him, you'll know if you're in that right place. And being in right standing with God, it's not about finding out how guilty you are because you missed something. Being in right standing with God is a joy to know that you are walking in his plan like you should be, right? And being in right standing with God, the joy to be convinced of your right standing means that you go into his presence with boldness, with confidence. See, right standing with God is to give us boldness to go in before him and to know that we'll be heard and that we have the petitions that we desired. Folks, we're supposed to be convinced of our uprightness before God. Amen. We are supposed to go into prayer knowing, Father, I belong here. I belong here. You hear my voice. Father, anything I ask of you, I receive it by faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And look at verse 11. Jesus says, I send the Holy Ghost to convince the world about judgment because the ruler, evil genius, and prince of this world, Satan himself, is judged and condemned, and sentence is already passed upon him. Think about that. I love that verse. Jesus is saying, I want to convince the world that they know that Satan has already lost. Yeah. Being part of anything, you know, any part of the world, you know, staying in your sins, seeking, you know, a lifestyle apart from Jesus, it's a losing proposition. Yeah. It's an exercise of futility. Folks, the world needs to wake up and realize that any other way other than Jesus' way is clearly a failing direction. And that's what he means. Jesus says, I want the world to know that the enemy has been judged. He has been condemned. Don't join a team that has already lost. Don't participate with somebody who's on their way to hell. Don't join yourself to the one who is already beaten. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's exactly, you know, how we're supposed to look at the enemy. Amen. Praise the Lord. And look at verse 13. It says this. Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth, the full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. Folks, here is the fruit of fellowship with the Holy Ghost. If you'll fellowship with him, you will hear the message that is straight from the throne of God. You will see things that are to come. Notice this. If you know at least partially things that are going to happen in the future, wouldn't you worry a whole lot less? If you already knew what was around the corner, wouldn't you worry a whole lot less? This is the fruit of fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost, because you'll hear the message directly from the throne room of God. But if we're not in fellowship, if we're not taking time to do these things, we're not going to get that message. We're going to be unaware. We're going to be the blind. We're going to be, we won't win souls. There's not going to be any reflection of God's power in this life. Folks, everything comes from fellowship. And now look at verse 14. I'm getting ready to wind this up. Jesus says, He, the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost comes, He will honor and glorify me. Isn't that awesome? The Holy Ghost will only glorify Jesus. The Holy Ghost is not given to man to glorify the man or the woman. All right. The Holy Ghost will glorify Jesus, and this is why fellowship with Him is so important. Fellowship is where we've humbled ourselves to Him. When you fellowship with God, you fully surrender. A lot of Christians, you know why they don't have fellowship with the Father? Because they're not completely sold out. You know, when you go to the Father, you lay it all there. I mean, Lord, anything in my life, it all comes behind You. No matter what it is, Father, if I am to, you know, get rid of something, if I am to, you know, follow a different path, Lord, just whatever it is, a full surrender to Jesus when you are in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. And when you are in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, it ensures that your character is strong enough to be used mightily without taking the glory. This is why fellowship is so necessary. First of all, the Holy Ghost is going no further, not in our lives personally, not in the church, not with His manifestations. He's not doing anything until His people are fellowshipping with Him. That's what it all comes down to, right? Amen. Because that was the purpose for which the Holy Ghost was sent, to bring us into fellowship. Yeah. But when we are taking that time, when your character is being developed and you're fully surrendered in that fellowship, and you're truly a person of prayer, you're truly a person of surrender, you're truly a person that, you know, humbles themselves before God, then God can trust you to be used mightily, even in the miraculous, so that He knows that you will not take the glory to yourself. God's power is extremely, what's the word I'm looking for? Powerful. No. The power of God is a great blessing when used correctly, but when it's abused, it is very dangerous. All right? You know, it's dangerous when people try to take the glory of God unto themselves and they start to perform in the flesh to gain attention for themselves, you know, or they want to circumvent fellowship with God, but they want all the benefits of God. Come on, folks. We've all been there. Let's just be honest, right? But, you know, that power is very dangerous if we try to take the glory unto ourselves. But when we are actively demonstrating humility in a relationship with Him, He knows that He can use us mightily without taking the glory to ourselves. Amen. Pure-hearted fellowship protects us from abusing His power. Pure-hearted fellowship protects us from abusing the power and taking the glory to ourselves. Amen. And so, you know, obviously tonight we're about ready to start closing, and perhaps we can go even further with this on Sunday morning as the Lord leads. But real quickly, I just want to give you three ways that you fellowship. You know, and it's going to be real quick, because honestly, fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost is actually quite simple. I'm going to say that again. Fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost is actually quite simple. Real quickly, can we bring up Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12? There's just three simple ways that you can fellowship with Him. And it's not, you know, out of some kind of, you know, responsibility or, you know, some kind of rule or something that's dirgy and dead. It's supposed to be living. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God that speaks is alive and full of power. Everyone say power. Everyone say power. Come on, let's. Folks, I'm just going to tell you. I know it's annoying. Can I just, folks, I almost want to have the live stream just turn off right here. Folks, I love you. And I'm not trying to, you know, spank you hard here or something like that. I'm telling you, the reason why I have you, you know, repeat that, because I know that what you just brought, you know, is not going to be enough when the devil shows up. It ain't going to be enough. If you do not know how to respond in the house of God, you will not know how to respond when the devil knocks on your door. If you are lazy in church, you are going to be lazy with spiritual things. You're going to be lazy and unprepared when the devil knocks on your door. And no, I'm not just trying to have a rah-rah cheerleader church. But folks, I know that if that is your response when the enemy shows up, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you, oh my goodness, he just asked us to say a word. He just asked us to repeat a word in church. You do it all the time. We get used to it. We just kind of get lazy with it. I'm not doing that because I'm just trying to keep you interested in my sermon. I know that if you do not use your voice when the devil shows up, if you don't learn how to speak, if you don't learn how to respond, also, if you don't know how to respond to God when he says something to you, if you do not know how to, you know, take the word and say, you know, again, you don't have to be on the counter at Wegmans or something. Are you here tonight?
Yes.
I'm telling you, you know, so often Christians are like, yep, mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, if you don't have more initiative than that, the enemy is going to take advantage of you. Praise the Lord. Pastor, you yelled at us. You disciplined us, folks. I love you. For the word of God that speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Yeah. Folks, the word of God gets deep down into your heart. The number one way that you fellowship with the Holy Ghost is you go to the word, not to read it, but you go there to fellowship with him with it. You know, as I'm reading scripture, I turn it into a conversation with the Lord. You know, I don't just, okay, here's a page. You know, you might read a carnal book that way. The Bible's not meant to be a page turner. You know, it's meant to be, you know, something that you feed on. You know, it's meant to get in there and judge and analyze the very thoughts and purposes of your being. You know, when I read a passage of scripture, I turn it into a conversation with God. I sit there, I repeat it back to him. You know, I worship him with it. I say it out loud. I go back, I reread it. Amen. Praise the Lord. The word is the number one way to fellowship. Two, prayer in our own language, our known language. A lot of times we go right to the ability to pray in other tongues. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if you do not know how to pray efficiently with your known language, a lot of times, you know, spirit-filled Christians, you know, they'll just go, well, they'll pray for 2 seconds in English, and then they jump into praying in unknown tongues. Folks, I'm here to tell you that's a bad habit. It's a bad habit. God, he knows your heart. He knows what it is. But it needs to be spoken. The things that you know need to be done. You know, I tell you what, you can't just say, okay, well, Lord, I just want everybody on my block to get saved, so I'll just pray in tongues about it. Is there any names that you call out to God? Paul said, I make mention of you in my prayers. He didn't just hand over all these anonymous souls to praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul said that to the Ephesians, the Galatians, the Philippians, the Colossians. He said that about the Corinthians. He said that about a lot of people. Paul must have also prayed a lot in his known language. If you've got a loved one that you want to see come into fellowship with Christ, you need to call out their name. You can't just say, well, I just trust it'll all come out in the wash because I pray in other tongues. Mm-mm-mm. God wants you. He wants to hear what you have to say. Nowhere in the scripture does it just say, just come before God and just pray in tongues and then, you know, just trust it. Everything will just come out in the wash. That's lazy. That's lazy. Amen. What do you want to see happen? Meaning that you know is from the Word of God. Concerning souls being saved, concerning, you know, the church, concerning your lives, your kids. Amen. Don't say, well, I prayed. I just said, Lord, you know, cover it all today. I'll pray in the Holy Ghost for a while. I just trust you'll just cover it all. Mm-mm-mm. That's lazy. Pray in your known language. And when you pray in your known language, this includes praise. Praise and worship. Amen. Fellowship with him with praise. Even if it's the same thing over and over. Father, I just glorify you. Lord, I magnify you. I just worship you, holy God. You're the one true living God. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the creator of the heaven and the earth. Father, I just bless you and I magnify your holy name. Folks, that's what that looks like. That's fellowship. And then the third is praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues is a way to deepen the fellowship between you and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, I'm going to say something shocking. Praying in tongues, getting, you know, baptized with the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I'm going to say something that's going to probably shock you. Do you know the goal of being Spirit-filled is not to speak in tongues? Let me say that again. The goal, tongues is not the goal, meaning tongues is not the destination of the Spirit-filled life. Do you know that? Say, well, I get filled with the Spirit, and therefore I speak in tongues. Yay, I got there. Tongues is not the destination. Fellowship is the destination, and tongues is just one means to help fellowship. Now, I know I say that in a way that some people, I hope you don't get confused, but so many times we think, like, tongues is the prize of being filled with the Spirit. I'm here. Tongues is not the prize. Tongues is not the toy in the Cracker Jack box. Remember when cereal, who grew up back in the days when cereal had toys in it? Do you remember? Oh my goodness, I used to, you know, we'd get the cereal home and I'd get out one of my mom's casserole dishes and I'd open that cereal. I'd pour it all out, get that toy and put it all back. I made sure I was the first kid in the house to get that toy in that cereal box. Amen. But sometimes we think, oh, well, tongues is the prize. It's, you know, getting filled with the Spirit is about tongues. No, being filled with the Spirit is about fellowship. Yes. Tongues is just a vehicle that helps our fellowship. Amen. Yes. Do you understand? Yes. And so some people will hear that and they'll think, oh, my goodness, well, then, you know, pastor makes it sound like tongues isn't important. Tongues is very important, but it's just the tool. Some people, they think that the tongues itself is the goal. No, the goal is to pray out things according to his will. The goal is to fellowship with him. The goal is to see things to come. Amen. And praying in tongues will help your fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Did you get something out of this here tonight? Amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead. Why don't we pray? Why don't we just stand up and we'll pray for a few moments. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we just love you and praise you. Father, our goal is to be in fellowship with you. We love you. We praise you. We want to know you. We want to know your ways. We want to be like you. We want to think like you. And Lord God, we just bless you. And Lord, we know and we understand. We know and understand fellowship is the most important part of our Christian lives. fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Father, fellowship with you through the name of Jesus. Fellowship with our Christian brothers and sisters. Fellowship. Fellowship. Lord, you sent us the Holy Ghost. You gave us your Spirit so that we would have fellowship, so that we would be in close fellowship. And Lord, we see that sometimes we try to circumvent that process, and we try to have the miracles, we try to have the manifestations, we try to draw upon the miraculous when we've had no fellowship. We try to draw upon the power and we've had no fellowship. And Lord, we see that, we know that. For our lives personally, also for a church corporately, it can happen. It can happen for the church within our nation at large. Father, we just praise you and worship you. This generation needs to see Christians who are in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. They need to see that the power of God on the outside is just a reflection of what's going on the inside. Blessed is your name, Father God. We worship you tonight. We glorify you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. We pray for the city of Jamestown. We bless you. We worship you. Lord, we just say that those who sit in darkness shall see great light. Those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has sprung upon them. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Father, we pray for every lost soul, every human being that is not in fellowship with you in this city. Father God, we pray that, Lord, that you would send laborers into their path. Father, we say this, send them into our paths. And Lord, we know that the time has come that we've got to get past ourselves. We got to be the convinced church. Father, we've got to get past our own needs and our own trials and troubles. Lord, we know that those things just come naturally. But Father God, we know and we understand that we can just simply receive our help and our needs by faith. And Lord, from there, we can just spend that time fellowshipping. Father, praying out the things that you would lead us to pray for. People that need prayer. Projects, things that you want to do in this earth. Glory to God. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We glorify you, Lord God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you will speak with your mouth, declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus your Lord, if you want your sins washed away, if you want to know that heaven is your home, if you want to know that you have eternal life, if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to send anybody to you or anything. But right here as we stand before the Lord, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll just have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead us all in a prayer, and everybody will be praying. And right there in your seat, you can ask Jesus to come into your heart, declare him as your Lord and Savior, knowing that your sins are washed by his blood. But if that's you, could you go ahead and lift your hand now? Is there anybody here within the sound of my voice that you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior? And tonight, you want to make him your Lord and Savior. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? God loves you. God loves you. Is there anybody else? You'd say, Pastor, that's me. I just want to know that I'm saved. Praise God. Well, we had a hand, and so I'm going to lead us all in this prayer. Everyone in this place, pray these words. Mean it with your heart. God will hear you. Everyone pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's just say in an attitude of prayer for just a few moments. Let's just worship Him. Let's just take a moment. Let's lift our voices. Let's lift our hands. Let's just glorify Him. Father, we just magnify You here tonight. We glorify You. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Father, we don't want to use the Holy Ghost just to, you know, for our selfish desires. Father, we want to be used of the Holy Ghost. Blessed is Your name. Glory be to God. 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 Praise God. I'm going to give this invitation. If you're here tonight, you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, or what the Bible says, filled with the Spirit, there is a second experience after salvation called the baptism of the Spirit. And it is for all those who have already put their faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never, ever been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues and you would like to be, go ahead, just boldly step out of your seat and come down front and meet me here. I'd love to pray with you. Praise God. Is there anybody? Praise the Lord. Come on forward. Yes, we're excited for you. Now, is your name Holly? It is. Brent and Lauren told me all about you and all the great things about you. Praise the Lord. And so, Holly, we're just, you know, proud of you. You're hungry for God. Praise the Lord. Before I say, buddy, come on up. Praise God. Jace, come on up. Yes, hallelujah. Glory to God. You're a growing boy. The Holy Ghost is for you. Amen. And so I'm just going to share with you, you know, real quickly, just some simple instructions. You know, the Bible says the Holy Ghost is a gift that is given to us, that's received by faith. Just like when we asked Jesus to come into our heart, when we asked Him to be our Lord and Savior, we received Him by faith. We also received the Holy Ghost by faith. Now, every time in the Bible when someone was baptized in the Spirit, they spoke in other tongues. And I know sometimes that can, you know, try to trip people up because we try to overthink it in our minds and we think that God's going to, you know, come upon us and force us. You know, He just takes us over and makes us speak or something. But that's actually not true. Paul said this. He said, I will pray in other tongues and I will pray with my natural language as well. So just as easy as we can make a decision to speak, you know, or pray in our known language, we can also make a decision to speak in tongues. And so as you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to lay hands on you, and then I'm going to say, receive the Holy Ghost. And at that moment, that's going to be your opportunity to speak, all right? And you won't be, you know, on your own. I will be praying right along with you. I'm sure others can go ahead and join in, and we'll just pray in other tongues and praise God. Watch God bless your life. Amen. And so both of you, if you want to just go ahead and pray these words with me, speak these words from your heart. The Lord will hear you. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that the Holy Ghost is a gift for me. He belongs to me, and I desire to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And as I receive Him by faith, and as hands are laid upon me, I will be filled with the Holy Ghost, and I will speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives me utterance. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' mighty name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. There you go. There you go. Yep, keep going. Just go ahead. Keep going with us. In Jesus' mighty name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. There you go. Go ahead and speak that right out. There you go. Let's just take a moment and pray together. Oh, so go tara mande se quebra. There you go. Brasa cabra mando so cobramba diste. Oh, so go tara pade se quebra bando so prabande. Oh, so go tara mande este quebra bados. Oh, dora mande se quebra bande si quebrosta. Andre bande se quebrado soco pra patiste que pra bate se quebra cadusto. Oh, Father, we praise you tonight. We glorify you, Lord God. Father, you are faithful and you are good. We bless you, Lord God. 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 Praise you, Lord God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you so much for Holly and Jace. We thank you, Lord God, that they have received the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, for this powerful and wonderful benefit that we can pray in other tongues as a way of deepening our fellowship with you. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you so much. We glorify you. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Holly, congratulations. Jace, congratulations. We're just so proud of you. Yeah, I hear people starting to congratulate you. So proud of you.
All right, good job.
Proud of you. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead. Let's receive tonight's offering. It's right for us to do. It's just so good to be in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what? It sounds like, you know, it was interesting. The last couple of days, I've had several people get a hold of me. And also, I know some others got a hold of the church or whatever. And are out passing around the book that I wrote there all those years ago about the baptism of the Spirit. And supposedly, I guess we're just about out of those. I didn't realize that we were out of those books. And I guess all of a sudden, praying in tongues is cool again. Praise God. It should be cool all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, folks, it's not something, you know, people always want some, you know, it's like this. In the automotive world, have you ever been to like Walmart or maybe AutoZone or something? And you go over to the additive section and there's all these additives that say they will basically rebuild your engine by pouring one can of this stuff in it. None of that. That is snake oil. That stuff don't work. Yeah, trust me, it doesn't work. It might work for a day or two, but it's really, you know, typically it's not something that works. And sometimes people are looking for a cure-all. You know, some people, they'll take speaking in tongues and they'll try to turn it into a good luck charm. Folks, it's not about that. It's about fellowship with God. It's about knowing Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and let's pray as we give here tonight. Father God, we thank you so much. Lord, we don't give to pay for anything that we've received. Lord, your Bible just tells us it's right for us to sow if we've been taught the word. And Father, every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Thank you, Lord God. You are faithful. As we take care of your house, you take care of ours. Father, you're faithful. You're a provider in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, did you get some help here tonight? Praise the Lord. Fellowship. I'll tell you what, miraculous power is just a reflection of our fellowship with God. Amen. Let's make sure that the people in our city, in our region, notice something different about us because of our fellowship with God. Father, we just praise you tonight. We give you the glory. We thank you for your word. Father, I thank you. Your blessing is upon us all. Father, you are so faithful. You are worthy of all the praise and all